text today is Hebrews 11, verses 32 through chapter 12, verse 2. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be glory and praise. If I were to ask you right now to step with me outside, that we were going to run a long distance race together at this moment, aside from thinking me crazy and telling me no, you would likely see rather quickly that you just aren't equipped at the moment to make that happen. You're not in the right shoes. You might want to take off your heavy coat. You might want to pin your hair back before we go on a long run so that it's out of the way. It's a dramatic hypothetical, but it's not hard to realize that if you were asked to do that at this moment, you're probably not in good shape for a long-distance run ahead. Probably rather obvious to you. And it's not hard to identify the types of things that you would need to change in your life at the moment to make a long-distance run even possibly feasible at this very moment. But the truth is, we are being called to run a race today. And it's a race where the goal isn't about getting there first, it's not about getting there second. It's a race that is entirely about endurance. It's a race that is about actually making it to the finish line. Our text today calls us to run with endurance a race that is set before us. And this metaphor is a common one in Scripture. It's one that's picked up by Paul many times to describe his own life. He says in 1 Corinthians, "I don't run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I'm running, I'm fighting." He's in it. He's taking stock of what he has to do to complete this race. Philippians 3, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead, I press on for the goal and the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Lay aside everything behind me so that I can keep going." It's a metaphor of endurance. Upon Paul's death, he says in 2 Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith." And for us who are running that same race, we must take a moment and see, perhaps, where we are not prepared to run. Where are we in the wrong shoes? Where are we in the wrong coats? Not equipped for the long haul. What is obvious on a physical level is rarely considered on a spiritual one. But this is exactly what we must take stock of. There can be no coasting, no passivity in the Christian life. Christian life of faith knows nothing of coasting. Faith isn't a one-time decision, something that you assented to once and then that was enough. You had faith that was decisive, you made a decision, and that's good. No, faith isn't really described like that, nor is faith something that you can kind of come back to only in times of crisis. Sometimes you'll hear that phrase. Well, when things get rough, you know, I just come back to my faith. Well, that's a good thing, but that's not enough. Faith is every step. Faith is every day. Faith is how we live and how we move. Every decision, large and small, come under the consideration of what is it that we believe. And we must remember that this book, this whole book of Hebrews, was written to a group of people who were a little over their initial vibrant faith. They had grown weary. We might put it in our own language and just say that they're bored. They're bored with Christian life. They're bored with faith. They are not thoughtful about it anymore. They are coasting. But the wake-up call is that there is no coasting in the Christian life. If you are not running the race, if you are not fighting the drift, if you are not battling unbelief, then you will not make it in a race of endurance. You hear the weight of that? The race, every qualifier for the race is it's a race of longevity. It is a race of endurance. Now, is God there to help us in this? Yes. Does God's grace help us persevere? Yes. But does that mean that you can't embrace fatigue and you can't embrace doubt and you can't sometimes give over to weariness or perhaps even boredom? Does that mean that we are not responsible for growing dull in our hearing or perhaps numb in our heart? No, no, it does not. Scripture comes to us very clearly in this need to run, this zeal and ambition to run. So here's the call to you right now. Run the race. Keep going. The question for us from this text today, what changes do we need to make to endure? What changes, perhaps, do we need to make to endure? Our text today shows us three reasons why we might not endure, areas where we might be weak, and gives us one great reason why we can endure. So we're going to look at those under those headings. Three reasons why you and I might not endure. Three reasons to sort of take stock of today. And one great reason why we can keep on going. The three are this: discouragement. The second would be the weight of our sin. And the third would be an aimless running. Or a misaimed running, if you want to say that. An aimless running. And then lastly, the thing that encourages us is that the joy that is set before us in the running. Let's first look at a discouragement of running with endurance. Discouragement for running with endurance. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Running for a long time is hard. So I've heard from people who run. There is fatigue. And then I think after a little while in running in this Christian life, there's not just fatigue, but there's doubt. And sometimes in the Christian life, there can just seem like indifference. There's no drive to run. There's no edge to our run. There's no zeal in the run. And so perhaps discouragement makes you pessimistic. Have you ever seen someone started to wobble in their endurance? Ever seen a Christian wobble in their ability to endure? One of the hardest things is to watch an older saint who's nearing the end. And fear and fatigue that used to be sort of held at bay starts to consume them instead of faith. But what helps us to run when the situation feels old and tired? What helps us to run when the situation does seem bleak? Or when your situation in life, that particular challenge that you're required to give faith over to, and health challenge, life challenge, relational challenge, marriage challenge, theological challenge, guilt, shame, whatever it is, and you're wanting to give it over, and you feel like the situation, mine is just so unique. No one's ever faced this thing that I've had to face? What keeps us going when we feel like that? That no obstacle has been before anyone like this before. It's unique to me. Our text today says that we are to look and remember that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That's what this chapter, Hebrews 11, has been all about, to remind us and to show us of the lives of those who have gone before us. As we run this race, the perspective is not that they are witnessing us run. So the cloud of witnesses is not them just witnessing us run. The cloud of witness, the perspective and focus is that we are watching them. It's like you're running this long race of faith and the fatigue of endurance starts to set in and you aren't sure if you're going to make it anymore and decisions of faith become hard and obedience and repentance and changing your priorities to worship Christ are hard and you feel like giving in. But you look up in the stands and there are those who have run it to completion before you. There goes Abraham and Sarah. They couldn't have possibly made it on their own. There's King David, mighty warrior. Fell in great sin, fell in great shame. There he is. There's Daniel. Defied an emperor. Went into a lion's den. There's the Apostle Peter. Quick temper, always putting his foot in his mouth, full of doubts. Denied the Lord. Then embraced his martyrdom for confessing Christ. There's Peter. There's Luther. There's Calvin, reforming the church. There's Corrie ten Boom, faithful in a concentration camp. There's my dad, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Christian, battling the fight of endurance, should have heroes. All throughout the Bible, there is a command and an encouragement to remember those who have come before us. Remember, this cloud of witnesses is not there to see you, but to be seen by you. They are for you to look up and when you feel alone, when you feel beaten down, when you feel discouraged, and to see them there cheering you on. You run a well-worn path. It's a difficult one. It is a lonely one at times, but it is well-worn, and it is surrounded. Our lives are surrounded by a communion of saints who testify, He is faithful, He will surely do it. He is faithful, He will see you through. And in your race for endurance, who are you looking for encouragement when your weariness, your strength grows thin? Do you ever meditate on the lives of those in Scripture and draw encouragement from them? How often do we just linger and pause and dwell on their lives? For many of you, and especially some of the young ones among us, consider picking up some great Christian biographies. And know that you're not alone. And see the way that God works through. For us in this room, perhaps we need to somewhat be a living hero, telling the testimony of God's victory through times when we did feel alone. We thought faith was too much and we were feeling too thin. Do you have a spiritual hero? Heroes are those whose character and faith, they draw us up into higher levels of focus and faith and endurance. Discouragement is one way that we can fail to endure. Discouragement often makes us slow down. But the second point, sin, if left unchecked, makes us stop completely. So discouragement might make you slow down, but sin will make you stop completely. The second thing that might discourage us on this race for endurance is the weight of our sin. Look at me at 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and run with endurance the race that is set before us. So I really like to look at expensive camping gear. I usually don't buy any of it. It's crazy how expensive a backpack or hiking pole can get. But I love to look at it. It's neat to see how you can take, you know, something and make it into its smallest and lightest version of itself. I love that. And there's this whole group of campers called ultralight campers. Have you ever seen them? And they spend ridiculous amounts of money shaving grams and ounces off of their camping gear just so that they can make their trek just the slightest bit easier and that they might perhaps go just a little bit farther. And that's a great picture of what this text is talking about. Why is it that some people in this race of faith will not endure? Perhaps it's because there are sins that we think that we can carry around with us. We think that there are a number of sins that are okay to carry around with us. Big sins we know will not fit in the backpack. So hopefully you come to Christ and we kind of know, I can't carry this one around with me. And so we sort of get rid of the big ones. Lord, bless us in that. Hopefully you've become a Christian and you've chucked those pretty early on. But over time, the sad reality is that there are many things that aren't immediately obvious to us, things that we tend to pack in the bottom of the pack, things that we think we can carry around, things that we think maybe are light enough that they could come on the journey with us. In short term, you put that pack on and you think, I can bear that weight. You ever thrown a backpack on being an ambitious hiker and then you realized a couple of steps in, I really overestimated what I thought I could carry around. Short term, you think that that's okay. But in the long run, these are the kinds of things that make all the difference in the world, the things that eventually make you stop. So this text does something really unique. Look at it. Look at how it phrases what to pay attention to. The text tells us that for the sake of endurance, you must pay close attention to the little sins, the ones that cling, the ones that seem small enough to carry around, the ones that ultimately result in you not making it. A habit of lying, a foolish and a filthy tongue, a hidden bitterness, gossip, what you thought was just a private lust. If you are to run the race for endurance, there must be a merciless and unrelenting evaluation of sin. Everything that will slow you down for the long haul. We also need to think of other things too. The text mentions not only sins, but other weights in general. We can be very naive here with things that we don't necessarily categorize as sins. So the text, listen to what it's saying. Lay aside every sin and weight that's going to bog you down. We tend to think that if it's not a sin, well, then it's just free game. It's not a sin. What's wrong with it? That is a naive fool's question. What's wrong with it? No, it's not so bad. What's wrong with it? There are a million ways to add weight to your backpack. There's a million ways that are not necessarily sins that will keep you from running this race. There's a million ways to be a fool. Ways that we spend our time. Things that are going to sap, take our energy. They're going to take our focus. Things that begin to numb the heart and the ability to feel, things that are distractions or competitors for our lives, things that dull the senses, pull from God's word, pull us away from God's people, pull us into bad habits, pull us away into bad hobbies, things that are not bad in the least in themselves, but when they are not thoughtfully and carefully considered, can possibly be just the little ounce, the little gram, the thing that goes into the backpack that pulls you down. And when faith gets hard and things get bleak and you get discouraged, it's that extra heavy step that you go, I just don't want to walk anymore. I'm not trusting God to carry this anymore. This is too heavy. It's too bleak. I can't give this over to him. He's not going to do anything about it. And it's the steps that make you stop. Do you know what those things are in your life? Heads of houses, dads, moms, do you know what those things are in your family? The weights, the sins, the things that cling closely, the fillers in the bag. This text is an encouragement into endurance that requires a fierce examination of the backpack. What are those small things that you're perhaps fitting inside? Bitterness, resentment, not guarding the eyes, walking away from good friends. Walking away from the testimony of good shepherding in a good church. Stopping praying, not reading scriptures, not wrestling and understanding the scriptures, not asking any questions about them, not asking friends for help. Sin and weight can keep us from endurance. Even if we lay aside every weight, we can still run, though, in the wrong direction. So it's not just enough to not be discouraged. And it's not just enough to be light in the pack. Just have the capacity to run well and to endure. But you must run rightly. That brings us to the third thing, this third warning from this text. And that's perhaps running aimlessly or running misaligned, running to a wrong target. Look at verse 1 and 2 from Hebrews 12. We lay aside every weight and sin, and we are looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We've talked about ways that we make the running easier, knowing that you're not alone, removing the weight of sin. But in the race of endurance, we must also talk about why we would run at all. What is it that's going to motivate us to keep going? We endure by keeping our aim at Christ, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter. In other words, if your aim is off, then you're in great danger in the race of endurance. If your aim is slightly miscalculated, that run gets very difficult. This is what the point of the text is, the things that discourage you, push you down, weigh you down, keep you going. So think about aiming. Perhaps think of a rifle, aiming at something that's really far away. That's what the Christian race feels like. We're talking about endurance, so we're talking about longevity. We're talking about looking downrange. So think about aiming a rifle. Maybe some of you, you've gone hunting, you've shot a rifle before. The further away something is, the less you can move in the sight of the target, because the slightest little rise or fall of the barrel and the bullet over time and distance does what? It gets dramatically farther away from the target. So you have to be incredibly careful and precise in sighting in the rifle, because farther down the line, the much further off it drifts from the target. And being off target is when the race of faith gets very, very difficult. So when our aim isn't at Jesus, when our aim isn't centered in, the sights are not pointed at Christ, looking to Jesus, the text says, when the factors that would jeopardize our endurance, they really start to show themselves, we see that our aim was off. You can tell when your aim's off when you sense perhaps a rise of fear and anxiety in your life. So maybe a way that this happens is that you had set your aim on something other than Christ. You might not have said that you did that or even been aware that you did that, but perhaps somewhere you did that. Just the slightest miscalculation, and you sort of were slightly off the bubble, you were a little bit off the target, you had something else in mind. And you have come to see over time now, as things have gone downrange, just how far off that target you have become. Most of the time, this is so hard to notice about ourselves. We put a version of ourselves out into the future. This is the way this happens. So you sort of project yourself out into the future, the amount of money perhaps that you're going to make, or you have this vision of a target of what your marriage is going to look like in the future. You have overly inflated, you know, college and career and plans, and you've put all this stock on the target in the future of what it would look like by that time. And then you find yourself pushed and pulled and battered around at what you thought you were initially aiming at, because you see that you're so far off target. And time reveals to you how off the mark you really were. And all this time you were kind of running for this race, and now you're really nowhere near it. And so what is the danger this text is telling us? Fatigue sets in. Running for Christ gets hard. What was I running for? I'm not receiving the target that I really initially had in mind. And so the stress that rises tells us perhaps what we were aiming at all along. When you notice those things, you have to recalibrate. That's okay. That's just part of the Christian life. This text is not saying, oops, you made a mistake, tough luck. It's just saying recalibrate. You have to aim and realign at Christ. So just like if you're shooting a rifle downrange, when you realize you're off, even just slightly off, what do? It makes that giant difference, and so you go and you sight in. You ever sight in a rifle before? Have you ever sighted in anything that has to shoot long downrange? It's just these tiny micro adjustments, this little click. And downrange, it's going to make all the difference in the world, adjusting slightly to hit the target. And what you can tell is you start to see areas where you've miscalibrated a long time ago have big effects now over time. This is similar to our weights analogy from the previous section. Today's text has been about small things that matter dramatically over time in the race of endurance. Sometimes there are these miscalculations, miscalibrations that reveal to us over time that our aim was off completely to begin with. We weren't aiming at Christ in our marriage. We weren't aiming at our own pictures of peace and success. We weren't aiming at Christ. We were aiming to be seen and known for being holy. We weren't aiming at Christ. We were aiming to be seen as the smartest person in the room. We weren't aiming at Christ. We were wanted to be seen as the person who had it all together. We weren't aiming at Christ. We were aiming at motherhood with little challenges in the later years. We weren't aiming at Christ. We were aiming at romance that was present and fulfilling by now in my life. We weren't aiming at Christ. We were aiming at fill in the blank. And the big thing becomes the thing that rises and falls in our stress and our anxiety. We weren't running after Christ in these areas of our life after all. So when you feel that pressure, you make those micro adjustments. And these disappointments are where endurance bogs down. Our aim was off, and now we're exhausted, we're afraid, and we're tired. So how do you calibrate? How do you sight in that rifle? The text says you look to Christ. What does that look like? To take it out of the metaphor and sort of ground it very practically, it looks like today. It looks like taking up the word to read. It looks like praying. Looks like coming to church. It looks like word and sacrament working upon us, drawing us back, dialing us in every week, every day, every morning, praying without ceasing, micro-adjusting all the time, refining our aim, and taking off the weight. This calibration, might be fair to say that's what faith is. Faith in the little and large decisions of all of our lives to trust in Christ, finding every area, big and small, where we trust in Christ, where we zero that aim and look at Him. We must always be aiming for Christ and take note where we aren't near the target. We must ruthlessly evaluate why. And all of this can seem a bit overwhelming. The long race of endurance, the keen eye for weight and weakness, it's a tall order. And to run this race, the truth is it's impossible in the flesh. It's impossible in your own strength. Yes, we do have a great cloud of witnesses to encourage us. And yes, we do lay aside every weight and sin so that we can run with endurance. But our greatest encouragement, the singular thing that does keep us motivated and will keep us going in this fight, is to look at the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Endurance is possible because Jesus has already endured. We can make it because Jesus is the founder. He's the pioneer, would be another way to say that. You are not running this race by yourself, trying to pioneer a path forward. You're not trying to chop down the brush and make your way through this fight. The path has been trod before you. Christ has gone before you. Christ is with you. Christ will see you through. The greatest encouragement, the greatest cloud of witness that we have to us is to look at Jesus. Look at the saints ahead and then look to the perfecter of our faith. He is not merely our example, but He is our substitute and our strength. Christ so completely redeems the world, in other words, that even though sometimes we have a hard race, which we do, He sets joy before us. Not as a joy as a carrot is on the end of a stick, not as an elusive one day far off joy. You will get joy, just get through the slog first. No, there's so much delight in His redemption. So much finality in His resurrection and ascension, so much hope in His perseverance and His sovereignty that we face the immediate and the long-term race of endurance knowing that all will be well. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a long obedience in the same direction. There will be moments of fatigue and stretches of wilderness, seasons where the finish line feels completely invisible to you. But you are not running alone. The stands are filled with those who have gone before you. They were saints. They were sinners. They were redeemed by grace, and they're cheering you on. And before you, at the head of the course, stands the one who ran it first. He ran it with perfect endurance. Christ bore the weight of your sin so that you could run free, weight's gone. He kept his eyes fixed on the joy for your redemption. So run also in joy. That's your inheritance. Because he endured the cross, scorning its shame, he sits enthroned and calls to you, come, keep running, I'm with you. I'm with you always. Take heart, I've overcome the world. So lay aside every distraction. Anything that might dull your affection. Throw off the sins that would slow your pace. Lift your weary head and look again to Christ. The joy set before him is now the joy that is set before you. So keep running.